And if you care to follow in your Bible, we'll invite you to turn now to Judges chapter 5. Judges chapter 5. And if you'd like a title for this message, and those of you who get a copy of it by email, I'll have an outline for you along with it. But as I said earlier, there are just three words that we're going to look at for this message. All that are needed, and I could preach on these three words for quite a while. But in view of the nature of things, we need to have a relatively brief message today. But if you're looking for a title, the title of the message would be A Woman for Difficult Times. A Woman for Difficult Times. And as we have already indicated from our scripture reading together, Deborah was a woman who lived in difficult times. Israel was being oppressed, and they were doing so because they had turned away from the Lord, and he had told them in the Mosaic Law, if you do this, I'm going to send oppressors to drive you back to me. And he did, and in this case, it was a man from Canaan, Jabin, the king of the Canaanites, and these were the people that should have been driven out of Israel in Joshua's day, but they had not done so. And so consequently, here they come again to be oppressors. They had 900 iron chariots. Did you notice how many times it says they had 900 iron chariots? And so these were like the invincible weapons of their day. And if we read on through Judges chapter 5, the statement would be made that you couldn't find a shield or a spear among 40,000 of Israel. So how can they possibly defeat this adversary? Well, we're going to find out. And in fact, our text told us how when Deborah told Barak to arise, she said, the Lord is going out before you. That's how they defeated the enemies. So, Deborah was a woman for difficult times. There's another woman that's mentioned in our text. And she is, and I find this an interesting thing. Some of you here, and I won't mention any names to protect your identities, but some of them might think that I should have compared Mabel to Jael. I like to call Jael, Jael the Nail. And she's the one who destroyed Sisera, as we read earlier. But our point here is that Mabel has a lot in common with Deborah. I think Mabel was a woman for difficult times as well. She was born in 1916, if I've read my obituary correctly. And this is the year before America entered the First World War. The First World War had been raging in Europe. And I like the statement that I've heard in a film where one of the characters said, we called it the Great War then before we learned to start numbering them. And so it was. And so she was born in that time. She was an infant, basically, during the time of the warfare. But then also came the great influenza of those years, and millions of people died around the world. And so there were those times. And then came the Depression. And then came the Second World War. And on we could go through these times, and I believe a turning away from God after the Second World War during times of material prosperity. And so not only materially or socially and politically, but even more important, spiritually, these were dark times for America. And she grew up through all of that. Now, several things I want to say here, and before I forget to say this, and before my wife starts waving at me that I'm going off on a rabbit trail, I do want to remind you that we are Grace Bible Church. And the Bible, coming into the central part of that title for this church, is not accidental. The only thing I know anything spiritually comes from this book. Everything else is just the speculations of men. Now, you say, well, I've got some good books, helpful books, and I do too, in my library here and at home as well. And they are indeed helpful, but they're only helpful in helping me understand what this says. And we have many great hymns. We've sung many of them today. And they're also helpful, occasionally, in understanding the truth. But that's the only way that they're helpful in helping us understand the truth of this book. One of the deepest, most spiritual, most biblical songs that we have is one we didn't sing today, but one that everybody learned in Sunday school. Jesus loves me, this I know. How do I know it? For the Bible tells me so. There's no deeper theology than that. How do I know this? Well, I feel it. Yeah, you feel it today. Are you going to feel it tomorrow? Have you ever had a doubt? Have you ever had a... Yes, all of us have. And our feelings are not... And you'll learn this. Mabel was part of the Mailbox Club ministry, and that's what the Mailbox Club ministry tells us, and that is that it's the Word of God that changes lives. It's the Word of God that changes lives. So, how do I know anything spiritually? Only because the Bible tells me so. This is the only place that you're going to get unvarnished spiritual truth. Everything else is just the speculations of men. And they change. They change. Well, I could, of course, go on with that, but we need to get to our text. And as I said, it is Judges chapter 5. And I want to read a number of the verses here till we get to the verse that we're looking for. Chapter 5 and verse 1 of the book of Judges. Then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day, saying that the leaders led in Israel, that the people volunteered, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O rulers. I, to the Lord, I will sing. I will sing praise to the Lord, the God of Israel. Lord, when thou didst go forth from Seir, when thou didst march from the field of Edom, the earth quaked. The heavens also dripped, even the clouds dripped water. The mountains quaked at the presence of the Lord, this Sinai at the presence of the Lord, the God of Israel. By the way, if you're looking at the King James, and I think this translation is more accurate and consistent, but I like the way the King James reads. The mountains melted at his presence. Well, I believe mountains do melt at the presence of the Lord. But in any event, we come to verse 6. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath. Remember Shamgar from our earlier reading? He killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad. You know what an ox goad is? It's a long pole that's got points at both ends. It's just a long pole. Usually, they tipped it with a little bit of iron. And that's all he had. And the Philistines had their armor, and they had their swords and their spears and their shields. And Shamgar just had this. Just to give you a thought here, how long would it take you to drive 600 nails? Do you think you'd be a little weary of driving nails by the time you got to? I would. And the nails aren't trying to defend themselves, and they're not fighting back trying to kill you. But these 600 Philistines were doing all that, and God enabled him to destroy 600. I can't even imagine what he was like at the end of this, or how anybody could do this. But of course, nobody can do this unless the Lord is empowering him. And I just want to remind you of something before we press on. This is another sidebar. It's not part of our message today, technically. But you have that same resurrection power in you. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can. It has to be His will. And most of His will is right here in this book. You don't have to, for almost everything, you don't have to look farther than this. But the point is that if you are being led by the Spirit of God, then you have a resurrection power that cannot be defeated. Well, pressing on, we read about the days of Shamgar, and it says also the days of Jael. So there's a connection between these two aspects. And I want to say one last thing. I guess it'll be the last thing about Jael. The text of Scripture in Judges chapter 5, and we don't have time to read through all this, wish we did. But it says of Jael, and this is the King James rendering, "Blessed among women be Jael." Now, if that sounds familiar to you, you know, every year when we go over the Christmas story, what do we read about Mary, the mother of Jesus? "Blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Almost exactly the same words in the King James rendering. So, this woman, Jael, was blessed of God, and she was, what she did, she was led by God to do. Don't just brush that off. Well, back to our text. Verse 6, "In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted, and travelers went by roundabout ways." Why did they do this? Well, they were afraid that they would be accosted and robbed by these oppressors. And so they did this. And verse 7 says, and again, I think this is an excellent translation from the original, "The peasantry ceased. They ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose. Until I arose, a mother in Israel." Verse 7 is our text for today. Deborah arose. She was a woman for difficult times. And there are three words that we want to look at that connect her with our sister Mabel Schaefer. One is the most obvious, mother. Mother. And Mabel, like Deborah, was a mother in Israel. And by the way, let me tell you the deep spiritual meaning of the word mother here. It means she was a mother. That's it. There is no deeper spiritual meaning. She was a mother in Israel. Now, she was a mother. She was the wife of Lapidoth. She was Mrs. Lapidoth. And if it wasn't for her, we wouldn't even know Lapidoth. But I suspect he was a great man of God too. But he was not called to be the judge of Israel. She was. And she was a mother. She had children. What are her children's names? We don't know. We don't know how many kids she had. And actually, in one sense, that's a very good thing. That's a very good thing, because if you read through the book of Judges, from time to time, a judge arose and he thought that he could pass his judgeship down to his sons, and it was disastrous. Every time it was disastrous. We don't know the names of her children. Another quick sidebar. We don't know who wrote the book of Judges. Now, many people think, and they could be right, that it was Samuel who was the last of the judges, to write the book of Judges. And he could have, but we don't know that. And so there are people who get all excited, we don't know who wrote this book, and we don't know who wrote that book. We don't need to know. The man who wrote the 66 books of the Bible simply recorded God's words for us. These are God's words, not man's words. Now, you may say, well, that sounds an awful lot like you're saying that God just dictated the Bible to these men. Is that what you think I'm saying? Well, you're right. That's exactly what he did. He dictated. This is a book about God, and it's by God. The Holy Spirit, if we had time, we'd go to the New Testament, and I'd show you verse by verse and line by line how it was done. But this is the book that the Holy Spirit wrote, and the men recorded it. Roughly 40-some authors. But the point is, they recorded what he wrote. Did he use their personalities and their emotional reaction? He sure did. But the words that they recorded were given to them by the Lord. All right. Having said that, now I can get back on track again. But here is Deborah, a mother. And was Mabel a mother? Well, yes, she was. And we know her children's names. And if you'll take a look at the obituary, you can find the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, and this sort of thing. And those names are important to us. And if you're born again, they're important to the Lord, too. He knows your name. You're not just a number with him. He knows your name. But it's not important that we know everybody's name. It's important that everyone comes to Christ as their Savior and that they live for him. And I believe Mabel did that. I think she also was a woman for difficult times, and she took a stand for Christ. And I might add to this very quickly, I'm trying to keep this short, but she was a mother to me. And there's no biological connection, but she was very much a mother to me. And my Bible tells me that pastors and teachers ought to look upon the older women as mothers and treat them as such. Well, I was going to give you an anecdote here, but I won't do that. We need to stay within our time frame. She was a mother in Israel. She was a mother to many in this church. I don't know how many looked up to her over the years and saw a woman to be emulated, one that loved and served the Lord Jesus. Now, there's something else. She was a mother in Israel. Israel is and was and is to come the earthly people of God. This was God's covenant people. He made covenant. And by the way, for those of us who have no Jewish roots or connections, and I suspect that's probably everyone here, God made no covenant with you and me. He made every covenant with this earthly people. You and I, through trusting Christ as our Savior, enter into the blessings. We've been grafted in. And again, we could talk about that for a long time. But we've been grafted in to the promises made to the nation of Israel. And so, she was a mother in Israel. One of the things that I always appreciated about Mabel is that she understood she was among the people of God. And since we brought up the Jewish people for a moment, her favorite magazine was Israel My Glory, the publication of the Friends of Israel Mission Society. And she read that thing cover to cover. And she would ask me the next Sunday after it had come out, the latest issue had come out, did I read this? And frankly, most of the time, I did a quick skim of it. I might focus in on one article, but I had to put it aside for a while to deal with other things, and I'd get back to it later. Well, no, I didn't quite read that. Oh, well, you have to read that. Well, I will. Give me time. I'll get there. But anyway, she loved that magazine. By the way, you ought to love it too. There are some copies on the table at the back. Take any of them and all of them. But the point is, in my opinion, and I think Mabel shared this, it was the best Christian magazine, is the best Christian magazine available today. One of the reasons is that it wasn't written, the articles are not written to impress other preachers. They're written to those of us in the pew, so to speak. And so I encourage you, as Mabel would if she were here now to do it, to read Israel My Glory. Well, here we come to the main part of the message. And let me read verse 7 again. The peasantry ceased, they ceased in Israel, until I, Deborah, arose, until I arose a mother in Israel. The verb here is used twice. The nouns are just used once, mother, Israel. But here, I arose. And again, if we went back to chapter 4 and we would see how many times it says they arose, she arose, he arose, they arose. It's an action verb. You have to do something. And I believe that characterized Mabel's life. She wanted to do something. She wanted to do something. So let me give you four things to take home with you. And these are things that are for you, not for Mabel, although I think Mabel would tell you to do it too if she was here among us. But the first is take a stand for Christ. She arose in difficult times, but to arise and to give these words from the Lord to others, she had to take action. She got up. She had her seat of judgment between Ramah and Bethel, and people would come to her for judgment. But now, because it was God's time, she arose. And we need men and women and boys and girls who are born again to stand up for Jesus. To arise. It's the time. It's the time. A week ago, we looked at a passage here at Grace from John chapter 4. Jesus said to his disciples, don't you commonly say, well, there's another 4 months and then the harvest? He said, lift your eyes. The fields are already white for harvest. But you can't look down here. You have to lift your eyes and look on the spiritual harvest field. So, take a stand for Christ. Secondly, wait on his timing. That's what she did. They'd been oppressed for all these years by Jabin the Canaanite, king of the Canaanites, but she didn't arise then. She arose when God told her to do so, when she had a word from God. And beloved, you and I have a word from God. Go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. And I could go on with the quote, but you know it well. Our point here is God's time. The contrast here to me is between Deborah and Moses. Moses arose before it was the time. And he ended up murdering an Egyptian and fleeing from Egypt. And he had to spend another 40 years learning what it was to be a shepherd, because that was God's program for Moses. Deborah, bless her heart, waited on God's timing. So, third point, be led by the Spirit. Now, I've already touched on this, but the point is that Deborah was led of God to do what she did when she did it. So it's not only the timing, but who's doing the leading? Who is telling us when to arise? So, whatever it may be, whatever issue of life, wherever God has placed you, in a field of service. And by the way, wherever you've been placed, that is your field of service. So be led by the Spirit of God. Walk by the Spirit. You will not carry out the desires of the flesh. And so be led by the Spirit. Fourth point, and this is, if there's one more important than another, this is it. One woman can change her times. One person. In this case, one woman. Today, one woman could as well. And what I mean by that is simply this. God, at this period of history, Deborah's times, used a lot of women, didn't he? I mean, he had Deborah, he had Jael, and doubtless there were other women as well. You could go to the New Testament, look at the number of women that God used during the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they were important people. Nevertheless, one woman can change her times by following the pattern that we have with Deborah. And I believe one woman named Mabel Schaefer did much to change her times and her situation because she would take a stand for Christ. But God can do this through one individual. And again, big point here. Go through the Bible where you will. When God is going to do something great, He doesn't have to have an army to do it. He calls one person. Just one person. You may be saying, well, I'm just, you know, I'm a nobody. Well, get in line behind me. I'm a nobody too. But the point is that if God has for you a mission and God is going to do something great, He starts with one individual. Moses, Deborah, go on and on through the scriptures. He picks out one individual and He changes the world through one individual. When God decided it was time to save the world, and the time was the right time because it was God's time, He sent one man, Jesus, the Son of God. He sent one man, and that one man collected around Him a little group of followers. Not very many, to be honest, but a little group of followers. And today, and I was reading about this just in a devotional this morning, Jesus Christ is the most acknowledged person in the world. We, around the world, people date from the supposed date of His birth. On and on we could go. And the man never traveled more than 150 miles from where he was born. Many of you traveled a lot more than that just to get here this morning. And so consequently, God picks an individual and He changes the world. And He may be calling you to do that. I think Mabel changed her world. I'm blessed by having really, compared to many of you anyway, a very brief time in her presence. But she made a difference in my life, and I believe made a difference in her little circle. And maybe the ripples from that are still moving out, and the ripples from your life can do the same. Well, a woman for difficult times. Do we live in difficult times? I would say so. You don't have to do much more than go to the internet for a second and you get weary with the difficulties. But maybe He has called you, someone in this room this morning, to be the game changer, as people like to say today. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this time of assembly. We thank You for Mabel Schaefer, and we desire to honor her memory today. Most of all, we desire that the Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified as we close the service this morning. We're asking it all in Jesus' name. Amen.